Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. We're here every Thursday live from 7 to 8 p.m. talking local, regional, national sports issues. We have some great guests lined up, so let's first introduce the co-host of the program. Joe, are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Primed and raring to go.
Yes. All right. Yeah, let's dispatch with the usual introductions because we have some great guests on the program tonight.
Yes, we do. We've got the experts in the field today.
Yeah, let's get to them right away. Leading off the program, joining us via the phone line, the head coach of the Lafayette men's basketball team, Mr. Fran O'Hanlon. Coach O'Hanlon, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk tonight.
It's great to be on Sports Talk there. I like the introduction. Great, a great guy on sports show tonight to have me on. It's awesome.
Well, it's great to have you on, especially after a great performance last night. I know the game didn't end the way you would have liked, but man, there were so many positives. Taking the best team in the Patriot League, coming in ranked number one in the Patriot League, taking them to overtime before losing. Could you talk about that game last night? And obviously you want to shake off the way it ended, but how do you take the positive, all the positives from that game, and build on that for Colgate and then the Patriot League tournament next week?
Well, as I said to my team, I was so proud of them, how they competed. I felt we competed as hard as you as our team possibly could. Our game last night was as good a game as you're going to see in the Patriot League, I think. And Bucknell had to win that game. If they win that game, they are the champs of the league. We came out. We were ready to play. We just brought it to them, I thought. And as you said, we didn't finish the way we would have liked, going to double overtime. You know, when it gets down to that point, there's one or two plays that decide the game. But I was proud of our guys. I really was.
Yeah, could you talk about a couple of the players? I think Nick Linder and Zach Roofer got shaken up in that game. What's their status, and do you think they'll be able to go for Colgate on Saturday?
I'm not sure. You know, one of the things that we do statistics on is their deflections. It talks about how much energy they bring to the ball and rebounding. Both those guys had over six rebounds in the game. For guards, that's pretty spectacular. Yeah. They had probably eight deflections, both of them. Their status for Saturday, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think that Zach Roofer is going to be able to play senior day. It's his last game at home. I'm not as sure about Nick, but he's such a competitor. I know that he's going to want to get out there.
You've been in a lot of close games this year, and there's been a lot of great contests in the Patriot League this year. I don't know if there's a magic recipe for taking that next step, but are there anything you can learn from all these close games, and how do you kind of learn to finish off ball games, especially for the younger players, learning how to win in that last minute?
I'm not sure about that. One of the things that, you know, you got to take away from this is that we've been so competitive in all these games. We compete. We've lost four overtime games. In the month of February, we've lost six overtime games this year. I don't know if it's some kind of record. It's interesting because one year we had won six straight overtime games, and people were calling me and asking me, what was the secret to my success of winning overtime games? And obviously, I didn't have an answer for that. I wasn't trying to get an overtime. I was trying to win in regulation. It's just the way it worked out. I don't know what the record is for losing overtime games, but I got to think we're pretty close.
Yeah. I think as far as the Patriot League tournament, I mean, all the games, the close games that you've had this year, a lot of close games. I know American challenged a couple of the teams up at the top of the Patriot League. Do you think this Patriot League tournament could be wide open? It's one of the great times of year where anyone can have a shot to knock off anyone else, and I think it could be a very exciting week in the Patriot League next week.
Tournament time is an absolute great time here, and do people have a chance here? When you look at our league, I know we're at the bottom of the league, but you've seen how competitive we are. There's a lot of teams in the middle that have beaten different teams. A lot of times it comes down to matchups. Who matches up better against certain teams? Whether one team's an inside team, one team's a perimeter shooting team, fast break team, and that's what's the beauty of the tournament. So I, you know, until we see what the matchups are, because mm-hmm. For example, we're playing Colgate on Saturday, and Colgate's in the middle of the pack. But they've beaten Bucknell twice, who's the leader of the pack. You know, I'm sure that just the way they match up, probably Bucknell doesn't want to play Colgate in the tournament. So it comes down to matchups.
Do you ever start, do you look ahead and kind of peek and see, all right, if this happens or this is probable to happen, this is probably going to be who we're up against and this is who the other teams are going to be matched up against? Do you look ahead at all or do you wait until after the closing game?
My assistant coaches do that. Mm-hmm. I really don't. For me, it's like, let's just see where we're going to be on Saturday after the game and then go from there. Because it's going to play with me. I just rather see where we are, and then go from there. And they talk to me about that. Hey, this is scenario. This is the percentages of us playing this team, this team. We're just going to look and say, hey, whoever we play, we got to go on the road, and we got to win that game.
Joe?
And, for us, we've been very fortunate. We've been in the finals 4 out of the last 6 years. We have won a playoff game 6 years straight. So it's a time where, for our program, we've done a pretty good job of being ready this time of year, and let's hope that it continues.
Yep. Friend, Joe Craig here. It's good to have you with us. Appreciate it. Just about your team now, you have a lot of young kids. It hasn't been a great year. I know you're disappointed. I'm sure the team is, but, you have been a factor. I mean, nobody, you haven't been easy for anybody in the league.
In the second half of February, we have, and I think since I've been here, we've been a pretty good team in February.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, people will ask, what's the secret to doing well in February? I wish I could tell you. Maybe it's our approach all year, but I don't know if anybody is looking forward to playing us come playoff time. I think we're a hard out, so to speak.
But
you got to win on the road, and that's never easy.
No, I agree, and I think the fact that your guys can shoot the ball, and anytime you've got a team that can shoot, you got to be a little nervous. But you have a lot of young kids on this team. I mean, you've got some good young kids. The future certainly looks bright. Can you name for us a couple of your young kids, what your expectations are, and how that looks for next year?
Yeah, I think Mac Kalinowski, who's a sophomore, who's had a pretty good year. Paul Azalez is a freshman. Mm-hmm. I think he's continuing to improve and getting better. Austin Evans is another young man who I think has taken major strides this year. Going into next year, all three of those guys have to continue to progress.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we're not thinking that just next year. We're
sure.
Thinking
yeah.
We still have a chance, and we have 5 seniors, and I know they've been through it. All these seniors have been in the finals 2 times
right.
In their career. So I know they're thinking, hey, we got a chance here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's one really nice about having a tournament is that, everybody gets a shot. And if you're playing decently and you hit a couple good games in the tournament, you can surprise a lot of people, that's for sure. So,
well, as you see in February, we've been so competitive, and I know one of the things I said coming out of January, because we lost some games that by whether it's double digits
mm-hmm.
or whatever, I said we're going to do much better in February, and we have.
Yeah.
Now I know it hasn't translated into wins, but
right.
We have been in every game. It's come down, as I said, we had 4 overtime losses.
Right.
Some were double overtime. We lost Navy when we're, it's an even game
right.
with 2 minutes to go. I mean, we've been in every game.
Yeah.
We've been so competitive, and we just need to get over the hump.
Right. Real briefly, I know you've still got things going on with the tournament and one more game in the league, but the recruitment process, that'll begin in earnest when the season's over, of course. But do you have some ideas as to what you're going to be looking for next year in the way of recruitment?
Oh, yeah, we've been on top of that for the last 6 months of people that we have
right.
been recruiting, and some of the kids in the Valley, which has been pretty good for us. be able to recruit some Valley kids, because it hasn't always been the case, you know, for us, and we're recruiting all over the country. But it's great to be able to get some homegrown guys,
right,
or to recruit those guys.
Any particular, not names, but any particular needs that you see for next year?
We're going to need a point guard, and we're going to need a four-man, and we're going to need a wing.
Is
what we need to do over the next year. And as I said, we've been heavily invested in recruiting those positions. And the good thing for us, having scholarships, we were the last school to get scholarships,
right,
but now we can zero in on some people a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Coach.
Our special guest is Fran O'Hanlon, head coach of the Lafayette men's basketball team. Speaking of recruiting, there's one player that I've been speaking high praises of for a couple years now, and that's Parkland's Kyle Stout. I really liked him.
Yeah.
Liked him for a couple years. He is committed to your program. Could you talk about some of the attributes that you like most about him, and how do you see him fitting into your program down the road?
Well, he really is a great fit for us. He's a big wing.
Yeah.
Got good size, about 6'6", shoots the basketball. He fits into how we play so well. And that's, we zero in on Kyle very early. Thought he'd be a great fit. He's continued to develop. Last year, I think he was second team all Lehigh Valley.
Right.
This year, he's a player of the year in the Lehigh Valley. I think that he's going to fit greatly in. And one of the things in recruiting Kyle that we talked about, I said, you know, growing up in the Lehigh Valley, there's going to be so many people that are going to follow you.
Absolutely.
Coming to Lafayette, it's only going to benefit you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, not just from Parkland, that are anxious to see him playing at the next level.
And it also helps, I guess, having a kid come in that's coming from a really strong winning program. That helps you.
Oh, yeah. Coach Stevens has done an awesome job with that program.
Yeah.
And obviously, we hope to go tremendously far in the States here. But they have a very good basketball program, a very good team this year. And we're huge fans. The thing is, you talk about it in recruiting to Kyle, there's so many Lafayette fans,
right,
that have said we've become Parkland fans because of having somebody like Kyle Stout coming to our program.
Yeah. Super.
Before we let you go, Villanova, ranked number one in the country last couple weeks, lost last night. I know you have some connections down there. Any thoughts on Villanova's loss, and do you think the Wildcats can bounce back and make a major run in the NCAA tournament next week?
Oh, I think Villanova's a terrific team. I love watching them, obviously. I'm friends, and being a Villanova guy, I was so happy to see how well they're doing this year. And it's a great program. It's a great school, a great area. Coach Wright has done an awesome job with that program. And it just makes us all proud. And I think they can go far. You know, the NCAA tournament is tough. You know, it's a one and done. And as I said earlier in our tournament, it's about matchups and matching up with the right people. But they have all the parts that could go far in the tournament.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Fran O'Hanlon, head coach at Lafayette men's basketball team. Best of luck on Saturday and next week in the Patriot League tournament.
I appreciate that. Have a great night.
Okay, thanks, Fran.
Our pleasure. All right, let's introduce, after we introduce our special in-studio guest here, let's roll out the trivia question first so people can get on board and take a crack at this before we get knee-deep into the high school wrestling talk. Tonight's trivia question deals with the NFL, actually. A lot of franchise football talk in the Delaware Valley region. So tonight's trivia question, besides kicker, what three positions own the franchise tag's three lowest average salaries?
Hmm.
There's been a lot of debate about Sam Bradford and should he or should he not come back with the Eagles? Should they franchise him? But besides the quarterback, which is obviously the highest, what three football positions besides the kicker have the three lowest average salaries with the franchise tags? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, now that we held you in anticipation, we can introduce our studio guests. And each year, we kind of increase the adjectives and the accolades because they do such a wonderful job bringing you high school wrestling this year. So the greatest wrestling announcers in North America, Bolivia, Southern Asia, parts of Antarctica.
And don't forget Iceland.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Kazakhstan.
So if we're on the air a few more years, I don't know what we're going to do. Scott Barr and Jim Bez, outstanding job doing wrestling this year. It's been a fun season, guys. Welcome to the program. And before we get your insights on the District 11 tournament, which you'll be broadcasting for RCN, of course, this weekend, just want to get your thoughts on the season overall. There was a lot of controversy, a lot of changes this year. It seemed like there was a lot of complaining early, and then it kind of died out as the season wore on. But, Scott, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the league and the changes this year.
We came into the season expecting a big year for District 11. We knew a lot of talent individually was returning. Mm-hmm. We knew that it would be spread across several teams, which was a good thing. And the schedule, I think, costs us the great dual meet seasons that we had become accustomed to. I think, like, Easton would look forward to the two-week span where they'd wrestle Becca and Northampton and Liberty and nice. Bang, 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 back to back to back. We lost that this year in favor of a championship day, which I think went very well, but I think we sacrificed a season to get a day.
Jim, your thoughts on this year?
Well, Scott and I are on the same page about, you know, how that whole conference championship, you know, panned out and at what cost to, like Scott said, some of those rivalry, traditional dual meets that we've seen for years and years. You know, the other concern that I heard coming from coaches, and this is really, you know, a concern about what's best for kids, is, you know, the distances being traveled midweek for a wrestling match. You know, there were teams heading from the Valley up into the Poconos on a Wednesday night to wrestle dual meet, and kids were coming back to their respective high school at 10:30 at night, and then turning around and going home and having 2-3 hours of studying to do, and then having to get up, you know, at 6:30 next morning and do it all over again. So I think that's something that needs to be taken a look at. What's best for kids, really?
And you guys are much more tuned in than I am, but I thought the highlight was at Nazareth and Easton, Steve Powell and Dave Kroll getting together and saying, hey, we're going to, you know, forget strategy. We're going to have our two best wrestlers go head-to-head at the end of that match. You know, and that brings up the whole issue about coin toss and should coaches, you know, predetermine who goes where as far as lineup. So your thoughts on that event overall, because it was a great match overall, and about the possibility of eliminating, you know, having that back and forth with the weight classes and the moving the wrestlers around.
It had all the ingredients. It was at the 25th Street Gymnasium, yep. Not a more historic venue in the country. Two old friends, Dave Kroll and Steve Powell. Steve Powell took the Easton job from Dave Kroll 32 years ago. It had two really great teams that are traditional rivals. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the coaches got together unofficially and figured out that Sammy Sasso and Evan Fidelibus could meet in the last bout. Now, that was determined by random draw in favor of giving the fans something special.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere, what we were talking before the show here tonight, in the old days, it was an old days, old school
mm-hmm.
atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see that at the college level quite a bit. You know, wrestling at the college level, the coaches weigh in, there 10 wrestlers, there's 10 weight classes. And that's the 10 wrestlers they go with. And there's no juggling around. And it makes for some really marquee matchups, sometimes at the beginning of a dual meet, sometimes in the middle, sometimes at the end. And that was a nice way to do that high school wrestling match. But with that said, I do believe that at the high school level, there is some suspense and drama when the opposing coach doesn't know exactly what wrestler is going to step out on the mat to wrestle his wrestler and then what wrestler he's going to throw out. So I kind of like that chess match that goes on at the high school level. Yeah. So, you know, to go to that whole format that they have at the college level, at the high school level, the fans might like it because they might see the marquee matchups, but I don't know that the coaches would like it because you'd take that whole chess match element right out of the game. Yeah. And that's fun.
Oh, you're going to ask me something?
I thought you had a question for
you. You're looking at me. I just want to weigh in on the first topic. You talked about the scheduling, and I think I agree with you guys. I think they need to, the travel thing, they need to make more use of Saturdays, getting three or four teams together so you don't have to travel during the week, and they can do it that way. Wrestling's one of those sports that you can do that. Guys can wrestle twice in a day, three times if they have to. And you can make use of that kind of scheduling as opposed to just dual meets on a Wednesday at Pocono Mountain East. You know, you can do stuff like that. I think they need to look at that.
And that was a thought I had, Joe. It's funny you bring that up. I would have to look at the finances of it. I don't know how well the schools do dollars and cents wise. And I know that's a consideration. But three gyms, three mats every Saturday, one in the Poconos, one on the east end of the valley, one on the west end of the valley. You know, four teams show up. They each wrestle a couple of times. And you can have all of your East Penn Conference scheduling. And then, you know, the Deerhoffs get to wrestle in front of the East and Nazareth crowd.
Exactly.
I think it would be a very decent solution.
And everybody can wrestle everybody.
You bet.
You get Nazareth faces Becca.
Right.
And you get everything. And you can do that. Cut down on the number of dates you have to wrestle. That doesn't mean that East Stroudsburg South can't wrestle East Stroudsburg North on a Wednesday night. If they want to do that, that's fine. But when you have the crossing between North and South, man, you can do that in this kind of scheduling. You just got to be a little creative. And hopefully they'll look at that.
All right, before we go to break, too, I want to ask these guys. We're going to start at the 138 weight class. Each year we mix it up, start a different weight class. 138, you got Sammy Sasso from Nazareth, Stephen Maloney from Bethlehem Catholic, Velasquez from Liberty. I think that's one of the more interesting weight classes heading into this weekend. At the 2A level, you have Matt Small from Northern Lehigh and Jason Jones from Saucon. But your thoughts on the 138 weight class?
That's the one we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's Sasso Fidelibus, and Sasso certainly had the better of Fidelibus in the dual meet.
Yeah.
But these are two of the most accomplished wrestlers in District 11 right now. Sammy Sasso, a returning state finalist. Mm-hmm. Evan Fidelibus isn't scared of anybody. It's a very decent weight class. Everybody would be shocked if it's not Sasso Fidelibus in the final.
Yeah, really a two-horse race in that District 11 tournament at 138. Like Scott said, there's four or five quality wrestlers in there that District 11 will send to the regional tournament. But at the end of Saturday, it's going to be Sasso and Fidelibus in the finals.
I will say this, of note, in this weight class, it's the sixth weight class of the night. Evan Fidelibus is the first Easton wrestler in a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. And we wait till 138 to get that.
Yeah.
Unusual year for Easton.
It really is.
All right, our wrestling experts, Jim Best, Scott Barr here. They're going to be bringing you the District 11 individual wrestling tournament this weekend. They're going to be back after this timeout to break down their thoughts on all the rest of the weight classes and also some general thoughts about high school wrestling overall. As we go to our break, a quick shout out to the H.D. Woodson High School boys basketball team for not just finishing the regular season undefeated or being ranked number one according to the Washington Post down in the DMV region, but they were named the top 50 in the country. Top 50 high school boys basketball teams in the nation. So a big shout out to H.D. Woodson's boys basketball team. And part of that, we're going to have three special DKN Sports Minutes covering the D.C. Basketball tournament down in the DCIAA playoffs. And here's the first of our DKN Sports Minute featuring, among others, H.D. Woodson.
This is a DKN Sports Playoff Special. We begin the DCIAA playoff run with the division regular season champions, the still undefeated Woodson Warriors. The number one seeds were set to take on the number eight Wilson Tigers. They tipped off close. Wilson was able to keep the Warriors from their usual first quarter big run. The Tigers pressed hard on defense with both a trap and full court press. The Warriors dominated in the second half, pushing the lead up to 18 points. Sophomore guard Keon Boyd came to life with a set of three-pointers just before the halftime break. In the second half, Wilson battled back through some tough calls to close the lead to less than 10. But in the end, the champions rose to the occasion and cemented their record 28th straight win, 79-71. This has been a DKN Sports Playoff Special.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, our special guest.
What was that, Chris?
Scott Barr and Jim. I repeat exactly what I said. You should watch VOD so you can see what you actually say over the air.
I got it straight.
Yeah.
Well, you need to watch it. Go ahead.
Well, don't drink
it
after
you've had a few. Come on, these guys want to talk wrestling.
You just interrupted me. Our special guests, Jim Best and Scott Barr, RCN wrestling announcers. They'll have the District 11 individual wrestling tournament on RCN on Saturday night. Before we continue their breakdown of the class pairings, class 3A pairings, and we'll talk a little 2A as well, let's go to the phone lines. Mike from Allentown wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Mike, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Oh, thank you.
I believe you got a guess for us. The question,
yes,
again,
I do.
Besides kicker, what three football positions franchise tags earn the three lowest salary averages? It's a tough question.
I would say tight end, safety, and running back.
Did you see that on ESPN the other day?
Actually, no, I did not.
Oh, okay. That's where I got it from, actually, and I researched it, and it was true. Yeah, that you got it.
Oh, thank you.
Great job, Mike.
Very good,
right,
Mike. That takes away a lot of people now will not email us with the answers.
There you go.
Say, Mike, are you an Eagles fan, by the way?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do you think they should offer this franchise tag to Sam Bradford or let him go?
I would.
Or sign him.
I like him this year, yes. I think they should, yes.
You would sign him one way or the other.
You know, there was one other position that was even lower than those three, but they eliminated the classification of the position a couple of years ago. Yeah, that was fullback. At one time, fullback was the lowest, and now they don't classify anybody
as
fullback.
They group it in with running back.
It's called, now they mix them in with running back.
Running
fullback
back
was even lower than the running backs.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Hot stuff. All right, good job.
Say so much, but
good job, Mike.
Mike, thanks for calling in, and we'll be in contact with you after the prize.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, man. I can count the ways you try to sabotage me. All right, let's go to 145, 152, and 160, because there's some great wrestlers here. Brock Wilson and Travis Stefanik, who was on our show last month,
yeah,
from Nazareth. Cole Karam, of course, from Bethlehem Catholic. I'll let you guys give your thoughts on those three weight classes coming up this weekend.
For my money, that's the most interesting stretch in the entire tournament. 45, there's four or five guys that could win this thing, mm-hmm, including guys from out of the area, including guys from non-wrestling powers like Mikey's in here now, from Deerup, that could see the finals and could take, mm-hmm, home a gold medal. 45, to me, might be the most interesting, not the strongest, not the deepest, the most interesting weight,
yeah,
class in the whole tournament.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about 145 before the show, and my comment was there's at least seven guys in that 145-pound weight class who could go to the regional tournament, but only six are going to advance. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to be out of luck. And it's really wide open. I mean, Brock Wilson's a quality wrestler, but he's not going to dominate that weight class by any stretch of the imagination. So it'll be an interesting weight class to see how that pans out. Let's talk 152.
Let's talk 152, yeah, because that got interesting when, uh-huh, Travis Stefanik dropped into the weight,
yeah,
class, because Easton, as you may have heard, has crowned a champion in 68 consecutive,
yeah,
district championships.
Yep.
Coming into this year, they said, no problem, we got Jimmy Saylor, he's going to win it. Evan Fidelibus is going to win it. Well, we just found out Evan Fidelibus has a little company in his weight class in the person of Sammy Sasso. Jimmy Saylor will not have a walkover against Travis Stefanik. I have him as a slight favorite, but I have that as a highlight bout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jimmy Saylor is going to be tested on Saturday morning or early Saturday afternoon, because Cole Karam's in that bracket as well. And Cole Karam's is having a great season.
Bad matchup for Jimmy, too.
Bad matchup. Yeah. I mean, they're both very tough on top, and, you know, they're kind of stingy on their feet in a neutral position. So he's going to be tested in the semifinals. But provided that he gets to the finals, that could be the highlight match of the finals, Stefanik and Saylor. Provides Stefanik gets there as well, which I think he will.
And 160, if we're going to go superlatives, 160 I have is the most wide open. I don't know who comes out of the bottom bracket, let alone who wins the whole thing. That one is just wide open. Ricky Fornicari actually bumps up with Stefanik going down, yeah, into 160 and takes the second seed. Fornicari, good wrestler, no doubt, but bumping up a weight class and taking a second seed, you can be sure that bracket is going to get mixed up.
Yeah, it sure will. And Cade Moisey, the top seed, he's coming down. He's at that weight class for the first time this year. And I always think it's a roll of the dice to compete in a weight class in your individual postseason tournaments for the first time all year, because you just don't know how the body's going to react to that weight change. So, like Scott said, really a wide-open weight class. But Cade Moisey, I like watching him wrestle.
Yeah.
He's a gamer. He's really funky when he wrestles. He gives people fits. So I expect him to do well.
That could be the one where the Eastern wrestler might surprise everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Darius Joyce,
being an open weight class, that might be where the champion comes from if they're going to get one.
Yeah, Darius Joyce, definitely athletic performer, but a very close to the vest style, which, mm-hmm, really frustrates some guys. So we'll see.
Be interesting.
All right, next three weight classes, 170. You have Mikey Labriola from Bethlehem Catholic, Frank Guida from Parkland, Kate Wilson from Nazareth. 182, you got Adam Soldridge, A.J. Velasti from Nazareth, and Jaden Reyes from Deerif, some of the names to watch. And at 195, I think you got a real interesting matchup in that you have Nate Guida from Parkland and Jacob Jacobson from Stroudsburg. They have a first-round bye, so they're going to be squaring off against each other as their first bout. So your thoughts on those three weight classes?
Yeah, I think 170, the discussion starts and ends with Labriola. Mm-hmm. He has been the class of the weight class. Coming into this tournament, there are five guys that have been to a state final. If you're going to count on a sixth, I think the guy you pencil in as that level of wrestler is Mikey Labriola. He has been just outstanding for his entire career. I think this is his year.
Yeah, I agree. 182, a well-balanced weight class, kind of like that 145-pound weight class. You have quite a few wrestlers in there that are of quality. Soldridge has definitely been kind of leading the pack throughout the year. But it's not a given that he's going to dominate in that weight class. Going back to 95, though, Chris, Jacobson from Stroudsburg, he's going to walk through that tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's wrestling on a different level right now. He's tough. Nationally ranked kid. I think he's top ranked in the state right now at the weight class. In fact, I'm enjoying the thought of having him go to Lehigh, which is where he's going to go to continue his wrestling career. Quality wrestler.
And isn't it refreshing to have somebody that's not from the big three or four?
Well, how refreshing.
That's that good.
You want how refreshing that is, Joe? Jacobson was in the state final last year, one of four returning state finalists, five when you include Dan Moran 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Monroe County has never had a state champion. Has never had a state champion. Jacobson wants to change that this year. And he sure could.
And that'd be good for local wrestling.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And before we go to break, your thoughts on 220 and the heavyweight?
I'll tell you what, 220 might have a surprise for it. We've seen John Williams of Easton wrestle a few times this year, and we've seen more than a few headlocks from John. And he throws them as hard as this guy used to back in the day. I mean to tell you, John.
Did he show how
I remember
to
that.
Do Joe
I,
during the break?
No, I'm too big.
I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to what John Williams might be able to do. He's in a bracket gym where guys are out of the area.
Yeah.
They haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, if they're not watching this program tonight, you know, they're going to get a
surprise. Be alert.
But, you know, we just leaked the scouting report on him. But, yeah, he could be the dark horse in that weight class. Again, pretty wide open weight class. A Pleasant Valley wrestler, seed at first. I don't know much about him. Obviously, he's earned the top seed, but I think it's pretty wide open. Heavyweight's got an interesting potential matchup in the finals.
Yeah, it does.
Camacho and Gunning from Liberty. Gunning's had a great season. And again, another guy that, you know, he's wrestling kind of at a different level right now, looking into the future, wrestling at the D1 program. But Camacho, you know, he's a guy that's kind of flown under the radar this year. But, boy, what a great season he's had. He's had some accolades along the way. I'm looking for a great heavyweight matchup there.
I'm going to throw another Deerif name in there, though. In the semifinals, Camacho is going to meet up with Shea Hines from Deerif, who's had a terrific year. And you know heavyweights. They'll wrestle 3-1, 3-2, 4-1, 1-0. That can go either way on a late move.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep.
Our special guests are wrestling announcers and experts, Jim Best and Scott Barr. They'll be continuing their breakdown of this weekend's district wrestling individual action and also some thoughts on some other wrestling issues coming up right after our break. But right now it is the thumbs up, thumbs down part of the show where our guests identify an individual or group of people that they want to give a thumbs up and or a thumbs down to. I'll lead off. A big thumbs up to last week's RCN Sports Talk guest, Tumay Anderson, for predicting a breakout postseason by the Bangor boys basketball team. They certainly have done that. Probably. They're playing Parkland for the District 11 4A championship, one of the biggest wins in Bangor basketball history. And also on that same show, Andre Williams predicted that Bethlehem Catholic was going to beat Central Catholic last week, and they certainly did that. And a thumbs down to Ryan Howard for coming to spring training, not early, by the way, starting off by saying he's going to start fresh and not talk about the past. Then he starts getting defensive about not getting enough playing time and saying, looking at his track record. And then when he's questioned by the media about his track record and his major league leading or major league worst 130 batting average against left-handed pitchers, he says, oh, this is just stuff being made up about the media. So now the media is responsible for team's batting average. So a thumbs down to Ryan Howard.
Jeez,
Joe, go ahead.
Three of them. How many you want to do? All right, let me real quick.
I used to like Ryan Howard.
I got two
a lot,
of them.
The last
one,
few years.
I got a thumbs up, and it's kind of associated with yours. Ron Holland, the head coach at Bangor, great job. They pulled off two big wins in the district tournament over Whitehall and Pocono Mountain West, which I think was one of the best teams. Surprised me. Great job, Bron, and the Bangor Slaters.
My second you picked one, it against them last week, by
I
the
did.
Way.
I didn't think they could do it, but they did. They it's not unusual that I picked something wrong. Hey, my second one, though, we got is a special one. Bob Garris, our good friend, got a happy birthday coming up on Sunday. And Bob, happy birthday.
All right. Jim, would you like to give a thumbs up and a thumbs down?
Thumbs up to the folks that continue the tradition of the Junior High District 11 Wrestling Championships over at Parkland High School. Two weekends ago, I spent most of my time in the Parkland High School gym. And, you know, you've talked about it on the show. Two huge losses to the District 11 wrestling community this past summer, Ray Nonnemaker and Tony Aiello. Mm-hmm. And Tony Aiello was instrumental in the running of that junior high district tournament. And with his loss this summer, I know there were some big question marks. Who's going to take that over? Will that continue? Well, Ryan Nonnemaker got a crew of people over together over there at Parkland, and they continued that program flawlessly. Big thumbs up to all those folks to keep that tradition going over there.
Tony's the reason they had that tournament.
Absolutely. He's the reason they have it. Yep.
And Scott?
I'm going to surprise you with a big thumbs up on a basketball side because my good longtime friend Herc Frankenfield called it quits this year, and he has been on that bench for such a long time and such an influence to such a variety of kids. And everybody you talk to just loves Herc Frankenfield. After 136 years on the bench, he finally decides to hang it up. He was also half of the team, he and Rosie Amato, that came up with the idea to bring back to the Wilson High Gym all 10 state champions for one night, and fortunately invited me as an invited guest. I had the time of my life that night. So big thumbs up to Herc. Thumbs up also to Rosie and to the Wilson folks for doing that.
All right, more wrestling talk coming up, but right now, the second of three of our features covering the DCIAA boys and girls basketball playoffs in the Washington, D.C. region.
This is a DKN Sports Playoff Special. The DCIAA basketball playoffs concluded on the floor of the UDC Firebirds. In the ladies' division, the number one seed Anacostia Indians faced the number five McKinley Tech Trainers. The Lady Indians came out hard and never let up. The Trainers, who were coming off an emotional win over Woodson, never seemed to get off the blocks. The Lady Indians used a stifling defense and scored many points off turnovers. The Lady Indians cruised to victory, 49-30. In the men's division, the number four Coolidge Colts faced the number one Woodson Warriors in a rematch of last year's championship game. Both teams clamped down on defense early on. Coolidge looked to find their three-point range, while Woodson drove hard to the basket. The Coolidge defense frustrated the champs, taking them off their high-powered offensive attack. The contest remained close through three quarters, with Woodson maintaining a slim lead. Late in the fourth, trailing by four, the Colts came up big as guard Tyshawn Sims drains a huge three-pointer and gets the foul. With less than 30 seconds to go in a tied ball game, guard Jerquan Washington races up the floor, drives, and gets the bucket and the foul, putting Woodson ahead. After a Coolidge miss, star forward Antoine Walker closes the door for good with 3 seconds left. The Woodson Warriors win 67-62 to secure their spot in the DCIAA championship. This has been a DKN Sports Playoff Special.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests, Scott Barr and Jim Best, RCN wrestling announcers. I want to thank Lafayette men's basketball head coach, Fran O'Hanlon, for joining us in the beginning of the program. If you joined us late, you can watch us on demand or watch a replay times or catch the podcast on the RCN TV website. Stop that. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to hit him.
Hey, I need him. Come on. What are you doing?
Just give him a
minute. Get Dan on?
I am trying to. Stop waving your hands.
We've got people
on
waiting to talk.
Dan from Easton. Welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I believe you have a comment or a thumbs up for us.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good,
Dan. I just saw Mr. Barr last night and Mr. Best this weekend at Muhlenberg. I feel like I feel privileged to be talking to you guys. I do miss coaching this year, though. I do miss, you know, I'm going to miss coaching, but hopefully I'll be back next year. But my thumbs down is the Bell Vernon kid who's taken that you know, the school to court for not being able to wrestle off. First off, I don't understand why he's not being able to wrestle off. The kid's pretty good. I think he's a Fargo champ and whatnot, but and I just don't know why he would take him to, you know, to the court about it. And secondly, I don't know why the coach wouldn't let him. And if this changes, you know, like if they get it overturned, I don't know how that's going to have an effect on coaches down the line. If you say, oh, well, you can eliminate, you know, are you going to go to court or whatnot? I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, Dan, thanks for the comment.
Thanks, Dan. There's a way better thumbs down in high school wrestling this year. If you watch the final of the District 3 dual meet championship, there were about six thumbs down during that. Two storied programs. It's been well documented on video, and two schools that should be absolutely ashamed of themselves, of their coaches, of their fans. Cumberland Valley and Central Dauphin put on an absolutely ridiculous display. If I'd have thought of that, I might have given them a thumbs
that
down.
Been
my
thumbs
friend.
Down.
Yeah, the one Dan's talking about, I'll give it to you. There's a way better one this year. Yep.
All right, a couple quick emails here. Our good friend Andy Weaver. Question for Scott and Jim. Will Becca have a chance to break the number of champions in 1 year over Nazareth? And how many will Nazareth have?
If I had to go through in my head, I'll give Nazareth four.
Yeah, four, okay.
I'll give Becca five.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, I'd give Nazareth three and Becca five.
Becca five,
yeah.
Oh. All right, so there you go, Andy, and let's see what this one is. Okay, this is from Steve and Pinarjo. This is not off topic a little bit. Chris and Joe, heard a rumor that the Eagles were interested in RG3. Do you think the Eagles should make a play for him? I think they should have brought in RG3 last year. I think they should have worked out a deal. But Joe?
No, I don't think they should make a play for him. I don't think he's going to. His type of football is he's not a sit in the pocket and throw the ball quarterback. And that's what they need.
All right. Continuing on the wrestling conversation here, go to the lighter weight classes here. Tyson Klump's the guy, we had him in studio too.
Yeah,
very nice guy. Pat Cooled, I've heard some nice things about East Stroudsburg South. I don't know if you've heard of him or you know, how much you've seen of him this year, but your thoughts on the lower three or three weight classes?
Last year when Tyson Klump dropped to 106, we talked about him being a threat for the state championship, even though he had, I think, 12 losses heading in.
Yeah.
He indeed ended up being the 106-pound
state champion.
So the win goes through him. But I think Jim sees a little barrier there in the semifinals out of Zach Glenn, who has had a terrific year.
Yep, Zach Glenn from Bethlehem Catholic. He's had a great year, and his teammate at 113, which we'll probably talk about in a few minutes here, has beaten Klump twice this year. So it's always an advantage when the guy you work out with in the room has beaten the defending state champ twice during the year, and you're going to wrestle him in the semis, and he can tell you those little subtle things to do to gain an advantage. So, you know, even though Klump comes in as the defending state champ at that weight class, I still think that he's going to have to work hard to get that district title.
Some other names at 113 and 120, Luke Warner from Liberty, Dan Moran, 120, I think is one of the key guys. Luke Harum, of course, at 126. Robbie Shoemaker from Bangor. I know a lot of Colonial League people really had said some nice things about him. And at 132, you have Jacob Lisak from Parkland. So your thoughts on those weight classes?
This stretch, 113 through about 138, very, very strong for District 11 as a whole. And I think you look at 13, I love a couple of freshmen here. Ryan Anderson, Julian Klebov, just love them. I don't know if Ryan Anderson can get by Luke Werner, but I think he's wrestling as well as any 113-pounder. He's very, very physical, especially for a 13-pounder. But Julian Klebov might come through the bottom half of that and beat them both.
Yeah, you know, I've watched Julian Klebov progress this year from the beginning of the season until the last time I saw him wrestle, which was the Thursday before district duels. And I have to tell you, he's on fire, that kid. You know, he's wrestling like a Division I college wrestler, but at 113 pounds. Really, really tough competition in that weight class. But I would be shocked if Julian Klebo is not the District 11 champion at 113 on Saturday night.
And when we move to 120, that's the one I have as my deepest, toughest weight class. I like 120 as far as quality, four or five wrestlers deep, well-balanced, good representatives of the state. None of them, however, will win a state championship.
Yeah.
120 is occupied by a world champion who is back. Spencer Lee entered the sectional tournament with a 2-0 record. He's going to walk away with this thing. That kid is special.
Yeah. All right, some final thoughts from Jim and Best right after our next time out. But it right now is Joe Craig's favorite part of the show. It is the Joe's Take segment, where Joe gets to talk about whatever he would like to discuss going on in the world of sports. Most importantly to Joe, no one is allowed to interrupt Mr. Craig.
All right, real quick, Eagles, keep Bradford, please. Just sign him. Get him some money. Keep him. You got bigger fish to fry. Take your number 13 pick in the draft. If you don't trade up or whatever you do, get a quality offensive lineman. Get the best offensive lineman that's available and go from there. And that's what they have to do. They got to build the offensive line to have success. That's Joe's take.
All right, now our final look at the D.C. Public League playoffs and video and reactions from the DCI AA title games.
This is a DKN Sports Championship special. And then there were four. The DCI AA Championship kicked off with the Lady Indians from Anacostia High School facing the Tigers from Wilson High. The Indians were the favored team, posting big double-digit wins most of the season. But the Lady Tigers were having none of it. They came out fast, pushing the tempo and the score, running out to a 20-point lead by halftime. The Indians fought back, but it was too little, too late. The Wilson Tigers upset the Indians 59-45 to take the title. Congratulations to the Wilson Tigers for winning the DCI AA Women's Basketball Championship. In the men's division, it was for all the marbles. The Woodson Warriors were one win away from an immortal perfect season. Standing in their way was their heated rival, the Roosevelt Rough Riders. The Rough Riders came out with urgency, while the Warriors struggled to get their game going. Both teams struggled with a slick floor, literally keeping both teams off balance. But the Warriors, they found their feet, and they found the rim, big time. The Rough Riders pushed back in the third. They closed the lead and tied the game. But in the fourth quarter, the Warriors rose to championship level. In the end, the Warriors outlasted the Rough Riders and prevailed, 68-57, capturing their unprecedented 30th win in a row. The Woodson Warriors have repeated as the 2016 DCI AA basketball champions.
This is why I don't let you rest all year, but it's spilling right here.
Congratulations to Coach Lawrence Mines and his team on the completion of a perfect season. This has been a DKN Sports Championship Special.
Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Our thanks to Lafayette men's basketball head coach Fran O'Hanlon for joining us at the outset of the program. Scott Barr and Jim Best, wrestling experts and gurus, have been putting up with Joe Craig and myself during our commercial breaks with some preposterous theories.
Yeah, you're throwing pens at me for one.
Well, you deserve that.
And you hit our guest.
You're interrupting again. Jim and Scott, I want to give you a final couple minutes. Just talk about the last couple weight classes, 126, 132, and your thoughts heading into this weekend's activities.
I think Luke Karam at 126 deserves to go down in District 11 history as one of the best we've ever had. He's on the verge of his third state championship. He's wrestling incredibly well. He's had an astounding career, and I think he goes through this weight class untouched. But Tyshawn White of Central Dauphin is waiting in Hershey.
Sure, yeah, he's got some competition out there statewide, but he's certainly, you know, the class of the 126-pound weight class in District 11. But what I like, you know, outside of Luke Karam in that weight class is there's a lot of very good young talent.
Young talent.
So, you know, there's going to be a lot of getting after it for places 2 through 6 in that district tournament at 126. But Luke Karam, he's the show at 126. Great, great wrestler.
132, I'd like to talk about Lucas Schaff from Emmaus a little bit. We saw him a couple of times. Talk about great careers. For one of those schools that we don't talk about a lot, Lucas Schaff has really been a top-line wrestler. He should meet up with Joey Gould of Becca in the finals. That should be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, well, you have Jacob Lezak in
and
that
Lezak's
bracket,
in there
you
too.
Know, at 132 in that bottom bracket. So that's going to have the
Lezak and
for
Gould
a,
in the semis.
A great semifinal matchup with Lezak and Gould. And then the winner of that is going to have a great finals matchup with Lucas Schaff.
And that's good for local wrestling, like Jacobson from Stroudsburg. It's good to have somebody that, you know, is not from those three or four enchanted wrestling schools.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a pretty good mix in the finals. It's going to be dominated by Nazareth and Becca, obviously. But I think you're going to get a nice flavor of Deerough and Stroudsburg and Emmaus and maybe a Bangor wrestler in there. So I think we're going to get a good flavor in the
finals. That's great to see.
Yeah. Any surprises or under-the-radar people to keep an eye on this weekend?
I think the one I mentioned was John Williams for Easton because he's got the big move, because he's a good wrestler otherwise. He's 20-9, big, strong kid at a weight class where he fits into a spot where there's a lot of kids unfamiliar with him. Mm-hmm. So I think if I had to pick a surprise, it's him. Or maybe, I don't know how big a surprise Ryan Anderson would be at 113, yeah. But a freshman coming out of the 4 seed, I think he could make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. We talked about Anderson all season long and how impressive he's been for a freshman. And that would have been my pick for a surprise, you know, at 113, Ryan Anderson from Bethlehem Catholic. He's already beaten Tyson Klump, as I mentioned before, twice this year, and that happens to be a state champion. So he's proved his worth. He's definitely a tough customer.
Scott and Jim, thanks for your expertise, and we hope everyone tunes in to watch you Saturday night, tape delay after the Parkland Banger 4A Boys District Championship game. Thanks for joining us tonight.
You bet. Our pleasure. Yeah.
All right, and we will be back in 2 weeks with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. We're off next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks as we'll be in state basketball playoff time.
2 weeks.
That point.
Now 2 weeks work.
2 weeks.
Huh?
That's 14 days, Joe. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.